Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all men, to all fathers. Isn't it amazing that we are celebrating Father's Day during our family laughter month? Hallelujah. I quickly want to share the word of God with us. By the time some people who will come late to church gets here, the service will have been over. Praise the Lord. And that is my intention. Amen. Psalm number one. The title of my message is The Blessed Man. The Blessed Man. Hallelujah. I pray that every man under the sound of my voice will be labeled a blessed man. In Jesus' name. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 6. I'm just going to share a brief part of it. I can't share all of it. Not with the time we have. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Holy Spirit of God, breathe upon this word. Brood on it, let it come to life in our hearts. That will not just be hearers, O God. That by the time, O Lord, we are done here, every man is lifted up to the level of a blessed man. In the name of Jesus. I want to read that same scripture quickly from the Amplified Version of the Bible, Psalm 1 in the Amplified. Blessed fortunate, happy, fortunate, blessed, happy. That's qualification of blessing. A blessed man is happy. A blessed man is a fortunate one. Why is it called fortunate? Because, you know, in the world, people loosely use words like he's lucky, luck. No, in the kingdom, there's no luck. He is fortunate. Why? Because God positions the blessed man to be at the right place at the right time. The blessed man is prosperous and is enviable. People envy him. T.D. Jakes wrote a book. He says, can you stand to be blessed? Jesus said, if you leave father and mother or whatever you give for the kingdom's sake, he says you will receive it in this world 100-fold with persecution. Why the persecution? Envy. When God begins to bless you, people will envy you. The blessed man is envied. That's why the blessed man will bring his Bentley and drive it to church. And people will look at it and say, ah, how did he get it? He must have stolen the money. That is envy. You don't know how he got it. Don't envy. But the blessed man is always envious. You know what they say about people who are very, very rich? They use a language for them. Say they are stinking rich. They are stinking. Amen. It's an enviable, because of their enviable position. That's why people use that word stinking. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or the one who follows their advice, or who follows the plan of the wicked. The blessed man, things happen for him. I pray that your fortune changes from this moment in the name of Jesus. Things happen for the blessed man. Everything lines up for the blessed man. Everything will line up for you and for your benefit. The blessed man has a character of positivity. He's always positive. He's not negative. He doesn't live in a world of negativity. You ask some people, have you ever had a problem? They say, no, I don't have any problem. Because they see opportunity in problems. Praise the Lord. They see opportunity in problems. Some people have said, there is nothing in Kansas City. But they've never said, Lord, open my eyes to the benefit of this city. Because if there's nothing in this city, at least the almost 1 million people that live in this city, they must be foolish. Some people are making it in this city. And some people are saying there's nothing in this city. Oh, there's something in this city. And you will find yours. I say you will find yours. The blessed man is positive about his environment. He's expecting change all the time. I tell you, church, I've said it time and time again here. Nothing excites me more after I wake up in the morning and I have prayed, blessed my family. The next thing that excites me is the post. I'm always eager to go to the post because my heart tells me something good is there waiting for me. Amen. So if I don't have the opportunity quickly to go there, I'll tell my wife, as soon as you are going, I'll pick up the post and let me know what you got there. I'm telling you, because I believe, and it has happened several times, I have sown seeds. I have been a blessing. I'm expecting blessing back from any quarters. Praise the Lord. I was sharing with my wife the other day. We were just discussing. I said, do you realize that if you take no action, you should expect nothing? If you don't do anything, why are you expecting anything? You need to act before you can expect. If you don't put anything there, why do you expect something there? Huh? Expectation is precipitated by previous action. So the blessed man is positive because he knows he has sown seeds. One of the confidence I have going before God is that I have sown seeds wholeheartedly. Some people want to disregard biblical principles Somebody sent out something on the men's WhatsApp page, and I listened to it. As good as the man, oh, the church should be teaching people hard work, this, that, him, this, that, that. Then we have to leave everything God said and just be teaching what that man said. Praise the Lord. And I said, no, as much as what that man says is correct and is part of what we teach, we can't disregard scriptures. Praise the Lord. Because the ways of God are not the ways of man. The Bible don't teach people to be lazy. The Bible teaches people to work hard and to work smart. If I have to choose between working hard and working smart, I'll work smart. Praise the Lord. If I have to send an email or go to the post office and mail my letter, which one will you choose? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be positive. For your family, be positive. The blessed man sees things the way God sees them. He sees into the invisible and he begins to speak, to bring what is in the invisible, to bring it to reality, just like God did. He called for those things which are not as though they are. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit moved. And God said, what? Let there be light. In this age and time, guess what we will do? Darkness, I bind you. And the darkness will remain. Darkness, I bind you. And the darkness will remain. Instead of you to say what you want to see, for darkness to disappear, you switch on the light. So God said, let there be light. What was in his mind was what he said and was what he saw. So every man needs to speak what you see for your family. Why is it that when we have children, they are growing up, most of the time they don't know what they want to be? One minute they want to be firemen. The other minute they want to be footballer. Another minute they want to be this and that. But you, the parent, even though you don't dictate their destiny, you begin to see their character traits. And you begin to see the kind of future that they might enter into. Am I correct? Praise the Lord. Then you begin to gear them up towards there. And that's the word you keep on speaking into their lives. That's why I know that every child in Wisdom Assembly, there is a solution to their future. The problems their future will bring, they are the ones to solve it. Hallelujah. Joseph became the solution of Egypt to become the solution of his family. The children God has given you, they are the solution of your family already. If you believe it, shout a good amen. Amen. The research that they have been doing for years, it is your children and mine that will arrive at the solution in the name of Jesus. I don't see my child's life become like mine. I took a stroll one evening with my son. We decided to walk a mile from home and back. And on the way, we talked about so many things. Then I said, would you like to be a pastor when you grow up? He stopped and looked at me. And his answer was emphatic. No. I didn't bother to probe. Because the boy must have seen the the daily activity of his father, and sometimes his grumpiness and frustration, like, I don't want to be like this man. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the blessed man sees things the way God sees them. The blessed man does not make his own way. He follows the footprints of the Almighty God. No wonder the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 17 verse 1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty. Walk before me and be perfect. Follow my footprints. The footprints I have left, the instructions I have given, just follow them and you will be blessed. And you and I know that there's no denial that Abraham became a blessed man, a great and a blessed man. I want you to pray at this moment and say, Father, open my eyes to see what you are doing. Open my eyes to see what you have put in place in my life and for my life. In the name of Jesus, let me give you a few seconds to pray that prayer. Father, open my eyes to see what you are doing. Open my eyes, O Lord, to see what you have put in place in my life and for my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, so that when you see the blueprints of God, you can follow suit. You can follow suit. You can follow suit. You can follow that blueprint. Eternal Father, open my eyes, O God. Open my eyes, O God, to see what you are doing, what you have put in my life, what you have put in place for my life. In Jesus' name. It happened to me on Friday. After the workers' prayer time here, which many of us don't attend, we got home. I slept. And early in the morning, the Lord visited me. And he brought me back into this sanctuary with the same number of people that were here on Friday night, that we were praying. Everybody the same posture where they were. And the prayers we were praying and the things God showed me, he walked in. He walked in through that door and he came directly to me. And he said, this is what I want you to start praying about. This is what I want you to be praying. This is what I want you to be praying. This is what I want you to be praying. I jumped up out of my bed. My wife was already awake. And I began to blast in tongue. I began to pray. I knew I had disturbed the whole house. Because it was like, Eureka! It was my ha-ha moment. It was like a burden was lifted off me. Then I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Later I will tell you what the prayer point is. I'll tell you, not today. It's going to be our focus for July. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord will open your eyes. I pray that the Lord will open your ears. Hallelujah. Because it's easier to pray the prayer God has already answered. Amen. Not only that, he showed me some steps that needs to be taken. That's one of the reasons I want to meet with the ministers next Sunday. What does the blessed man do? The blessed man is in covenant with God. He's in covenant with God. The weak comes into agreement with the strong so that the strength of the strong can cover the weakness of the weak. That's what covenant is. You need to, as a man, as a woman, as a family, we need to cut a covenant with God. And that becomes the value with which we rule and lead in our families. The blessed man does not cut corners. The blessed man is not an abuser. The blessed man is not a misuser. Being a pastor, I hear so many things. Sometimes I get angry. But it moves me to pray. How can a man say to his wife, I have not beaten you well, like other men beat their wives? Because I don't beat you well. So you've been beating her. But you are telling yourself you didn't do it well. Have you noticed now in social media, you see men beating their wives and they are streaming it live? Yes. Yes. One of my mentors shared with me, he came to visit a family to preach at their church, the pastor and his wife. He went to bed. Suddenly he began to hear noise and speaking in tongues. He would hear, bsh, boo, masakatarababa, boo. Then he woke up and lo and behold, he was the pastor beating his wife and speaking in tongues. Huh? As he beat her, he would speak in tongue. He's doing the will of. that's evil. That's evil. That's evil. That's why, beware when you go and look for miracles before you carry burdens and problems. This happens especially in Nigeria with all these different ministries, miracle signs and wonders, miracle signs and wonders. And whereas the man has buried the head of 3 little children in the altar, put an invisible ring in their hand. No, somebody sent me a live testimony of a pastor who just repented. Ministry is not by force, so. Amen? If it is, if signs and wonders are the reason why God said we should do church, everybody has failed. Telling you. Be careful. Oh, you are looking for prophet liars. Who will prophesy, prophet lie over your life and deceive you. I see that happen too many times. I see that happen too many times. Praise the Lord. Be in positive covenant with God. If it works for them there, ask them, what are they doing? And ask God for your own. A man in covenant with God will see his status change. When God says stop, you stop. When God says move, you move. Because you are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The next point I'm going to make here, and I'm going to close because of time. He says the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That is to say, he's careful to choose his associations. His associations. Who do you gather with that erode the faith of the word of God from your heart? Who do you gather with that gives you another idea apart from the word of God? God is interested in your associations. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Apart from your wife and your children, or your husband and your children, write out 5 people who are closest to you. Do that exercise at home. Name them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The closest people to you. Then look at them. What are they contributing to your life? Are these the kind of people that push you towards the kingdom of God? Or they take you away from the kingdom of God? The counsel of the ungodly. What does the Bible say about that? Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13, 20. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Who is a wise man? The one who has the wisdom of God in his life. Not the wisdom of the devil, not the satanic, cunning wisdom. If you walk with those kind of people, you are in the companion of fools. But if you walk with wise men, biblical wise men, people who weigh their lives based on the word of God, the Bible says, then you too, you become wise. What's the scripture saying there? You become like the people you follow. I didn't hear an amen to that. You become like the people you follow. You say, oh, I am born again. But the people you follow, they are not going in the same direction with you. Then that's why they will bring another notion of the word of God. And you begin to buy it and say, yes, it's true. They will tell you, have you read the 7 books of Moses? They will tell, if you check all the things, that this and that, the truth is in the... You better run. You better run from them. Run from them. Your association influences your thinking. Amen? Those with whom you associate with, they will influence your mind. And those who influence your mind, they influence the most part of your life. If you are poor, you will feel comfortable hanging around poor people. Guess what will happen? You remain poor and will criticize the rich. Isn't that so? But if you are poor and you start hanging out with the rich, the mentality of the rich will soon be deposited in you. Your mind becomes enlarged. Your imagination becomes enlarged. You begin to see what you couldn't see before. Hallelujah. Association. If you are the smartest person among your association, you're in trouble. Find somebody smarter than you and begin to associate with them so that they can drop wisdom of what they are doing, how they are getting to where they are, into you. Hallelujah. People you move around with are the people that influences you the most. The books you read are the things that influences you the most. The kind of movies you watch are the kind of movies that influences you the most. And you know, Hollywood lies a lot. Especially women, when you watch this chick flick, Fantasy of Love, you begin to say, my husband doesn't do that. They now sow that seed in you, you start fighting your husband. That Janet, did you not watch that? Every movie is a true revelation of truth. No, they lied to you. And he rode on his horse, and he came quickly, and he brought his Ferrari, and he brought flowers, and knelt down, and this, that, 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 that. It doesn't really work that way. Praise the Lord. It doesn't work that way. And for us men, the kind of movies we like, at least I know somebody like me, war. They shoot, 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 shoot. That's what we enjoy. Brought out the sword. Click, shah, shah. That doesn't mean you bring out the sword against your family. Bring it down to defend your family. And be the actor that doesn't die, that protects his family. I would die for my family. Praise the Lord. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Because your friends, your association, they shape your destiny. They shape your destiny. But the blessed man, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not sit with mockers, those who mock the truth. You may mock the truth, but you can never change the truth. You can't change it. You can't erase the truth. It always comes out. Have you noticed that even in America here, there are some black people, they were erroneously found guilty 20 years ago. They didn't commit the offense. They locked them up. After a while, truth shows up. Truth always shows up. Some may have died, but truth will show up and their family will benefit from it. Amen? Some will come out of the jail and then the city that jailed them will now pay them for every year they were in prison, even though they can't buy back those years. But truth always prevails. Always. And that's why it's extremely important to always stand on the side of truth, even if you will suffer for it. Who are you talking to? Who is giving you advice? They are the ones shaping your life. They are turning you bit by bit, and you don't know it. Are you listening to people who help you stretch your imagination so that you can see possibilities? Rather than, oh, there is nothing here. Then you move from here to there. From there, you move to another there. And there to there, by the time you look at your life, you have nothing. Because all the time you are supposed to stay and let God show you, you are moving about. Hallelujah. Stop listening to people who don't contribute nothing to your life. They are not going anywhere. And they don't want you to go anywhere. Amen? There are some people who will call me, friends I've had for 30 years, and we've not seen each other for 20 years. And they always think that the way I was is the way I still am. So the first thing that comes out of their mind is what we used to talk about. Then, I'm like, I'll call you later. I'm telling you, praise the Lord. The Bible says, and I'm closing with this. Finally. Maybe I'll continue next week on this topic. It's an interesting one. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Because I need to drive this home. Be not deceived. Don't fall for deception. Evil communication will corrupt you. Evil communication does not always come like a curse or most of the time negative words. It comes like wrong advice, wrong suggestions. They now corrupt your thinking. They corrupt your mindset. He said, don't be deceived. Don't let evil communication, evil association, they will affect you negatively. They will affect your destiny negatively. Be sensitive to your destiny by watching your association. Be sensitive. Next week, I'll continue on this subject. But the blessed man, this equally goes with a woman, with every family member. It is to see the way God sees. It is to open ourselves to the leading of the Almighty. I showed us a scripture on Friday. I want to show it to you too, in case you've not seen it in your Bible. Acts of Apostles 14. Acts of Apostles 14, verse 3. Can we read together? One, two, go. Read it again. Long time. The change you want to see in your life, the prayer you are praying that you want God to change in your life, is not something you do quick. Stay there. Pray that prayer until you pray it through. Say that thing until it comes to pass. Paul and Barnabas, they were there for a long time speaking the same thing. There's no other gospel. There's no other truth. Truth is one. If the prayer we prayed last week has not been answered, we will pray it again this week until it becomes answered. We are not prayer manufacturer. Manufacture prayer points, prayer points, prayer points, prayer points. And then you get home, you don't even pray them. Why don't you take one and sit with it? And that was what God walked in to show me. This is what you should pray for. When I say is this, I mean only one thing. Just one thing. This is what you should be praying for. Now, whether it relates to everybody or me alone, I don't know. Long time. Pray it until you pray through. Pray it until you break through. Somebody say, I'll break through. Say, I will break through. You know, it's just like, a woman who wants to give birth. And then everybody says, push, push. And they see the head of the baby. And say, praise God. She has broken through. And everybody go. That's not breakthrough. Until the baby is out. Until the placenta is out. Then that's breakthrough. But if the baby comes out, The placenta does not come out, that's still not breakthrough. You hit a nail and you want it to come out to the other side and you just hit it once and leave it, that's not breakthrough. You keep on hitting it. You keep on hitting it. You keep on hitting it. You want to see a change. Declare your change. By the Spirit of the Lord, your status has changed. When you live here, keep on declaring it. Don't, oh Lord, I know my status will change. No, your status has changed. It has changed. Thank you, Lord, because my status has changed. Thank you, Lord, because that thing I believe has come. It has come. I declare blessing over every man's life, over every family life, in the mighty name of Jesus.